you for tuning in to this podcast on the importance of life cycles in the upcoming Dutch pension reform. My name is Marije Groen, and today I talk with Dominic Baarn and Geert-Jan Troost from BlackRock. Dominic Baarn is Head of Investment Strategy for the Retirement Solutions Team in EMEA, and Geert-Jan Troost leads the Institutional Client Business for BlackRock in the Netherlands. Dom is a member of BlackRock's Multi-Asset Strategy and Solutions Team, and serves as the lead liaison on defined contribution for BlackRock distribution teams and external stakeholders of BlackRock. Together, we'll take a deep dive into the escalating shift in the Netherlands from DB, or defined benefit, pensioen met toegezegde uitkeringen in het Nederlands, to DC, or defined contribution, beschikbare premieregelingen in het Nederlands, and the crucial part that life cycles will play going forward. This shift to DC has occurred in many other countries already, so let's learn from these recent experiences and explore a few of the innovative solutions that BlackRock provides. Dom and Geert-Jan, welcome. It's wonderful to have you.
Thank you. Pleasure.
Pleasure.
Good to have you. Geert-Jan, I'm going to start with you. And maybe prior to kicking off this interview, could you briefly explain to us what exactly are life cycles?
Yeah, sure, Marije. So life cycle, it's a term that we use for an approach where we see that the investment portfolio or the risk profile of an investment portfolio changes over time because it wants to adapt or it needs to adapt to the changing age of the pension participant. And usually pension participants, when they grow older, they want to have less risk in the portfolio, and the portfolio needs to adapt over time to that preference.
Right. Okay. Thanks for clarifying that. Geert-Jan, these are exciting developments, the ones I just mentioned in my introduction, for you and for pension funds. Can you clarify a bit more?
Yeah, indeed. I think they are exciting. But you know, I've been in this sector, pension fund sector, for a long time, and I've seen that Dutch pension funds, they've always been used to adapting to changes. You know, they could be in the market, could be in interest rates, could be in the use of new products, you know, the way to find yield, diversification, and now in this case, also in regulation. And maybe a step back on that regulation, so a very brief summary. This new pension reform that will ask pension funds to make a choice between two DC versions. One is the NPC, the collective version of DC, and the other one is WVP Plus, which is a much more individual approach to the individual participants. By the way, I read this morning in a newspaper that finally we decided to take away these really strange NPC and WVP Plus. We're going to change it. We're going to say NPC, the collective version, we're going to call that the solidaire premieregeling, and the WVP Plus, the flexibele premieregeling. But you know, for this podcast, let's use these two names for the moment.
Yeah. Hot off the press.
Exactly. And I think now is a really good time to focus on the need of life cycles. I explained this approach over time. And this approach is really crucially different for DC relative to how we invest money in our current DB pension fund sector. Because basically you have that one big pot of money for one large member population. Now, in this new DC pension system, you will see that investing and risk profiling will be much more tailored to the participants, and it will change over time. Now, you had these two versions. So in this WVP Plus, you know, the individual version, this changing portfolio, this approach of life cycling will be extremely clear. You know, the portfolio relates to an individual, that individual grows older, and automatically the portfolio needs to adapt to his or her risk profile. The NPC version, the second version, the more collective version, there's also a life cycle, but it's a little bit more implicit because not the assets change, but the yield that an age cohort of participants will receive when it grows older. But you know, the concept, of course, is the same. Now, to finish off this whole background story, you know, we see a lot of challenges ahead. Pension funds also look at, you know, life cycle design, implementation that will be become so much more crucial in Dutch DC relative to our current DB process, it needs to be tailored to the Dutch situation. And Dom and I want to ask for some attention on these challenges, because we've seen in many other EU countries, but also beyond Europe, experiences that are very useful. And that's why I've asked Dominic to also join this podcast, because he has a much more international experience and he can join and share his expertise in here as well.
Okay, so over to you, Dom. As Gert-Jan mentioned, you are the key liaison for BlackRock on defined contribution developments in Europe. And I wonder, could you explain to us why DC is becoming increasingly important, and also what is driving this shift?
Yeah, sure. Thanks. And I think one of the big things that we think about here with BlackRock is that, you know, the retirement issue or the retirement problem is one of the biggest challenges of our generation. You know, making sure we're trying to do our best to make sure people can retire comfortably. We see globally that there's a lot of things that are moving schemes to go to DC. Most of it's to do with the fact that pension liabilities are struggled to being paid by the traditional sources. So whether you're a government or a corporate, it's quite difficult to start paying the liabilities because interest rates are so low, future returns muted, and people are living a lot longer. So there's more to pay out. So we're looking at different ways to try and solve that, and individual bearing more risk and being more responsible for the retirement is a feature of that. So we are seeing DC rising globally.
Now, Dom, for the Netherlands, this massive shift to DC is quite new, but many other countries have already made the shift. And BlackRock is actually present in those countries. So you must have seen a lot, I can imagine. Could you maybe zoom in to some of the examples that you see in Europe or highlight the changes that you've seen in these countries?
Yeah, I think the key point is that DC isn't actually new in Europe. So during the last 30 years, many European Union member states have reformed the pension system. And so we do see DC being prevalent in countries like Italy. So the Dini reform in the early 1990s saw DC replacing DB. And in Sweden, for instance, this not necessarily traditional workplace DC, but in the third pillar, where your individual savings are there to top up your retirement income. And we've seen a lot going on there. There's a compulsory 2.5% of pensionable income to be paid into individual accounts with individual choice. And what that means is that there is a people are incentivized to save into their own individual pension systems. So, yeah, we have seen that. And I think more broadly, if we look across the piece, so Germany, Finland and Italy, they're all making changes that are either gradually or quite impactfully going into more individual forms of retirement. It's slower in certain areas than others. So, you know, it does differ. But, yeah, it's definitely a theme and has been for some time.
And I'm actually curious. I'd like to know a bit more about this. Could you give us some examples of what exactly you've seen happening in countries around us?
Yeah, so we see lots of things happening in globally. I mean, we run mandates for, you know, not just European countries, but we have Asian, Latin American, North American clients. And so we observe a couple of, you know, common trends. I think the most common trend really is focusing on asset allocation. For instance, in Italy, we run mandates that are very focused on building two custom multi-asset portfolios that are designed to meet an inflation plus target. One is a more conservative and the other one is a more moderate allocation, but very much designed specifically for a large occupational scheme. And then, as I mentioned earlier, where we talk about more individual elements, where we're really working on people's own savings and they're really asking us to do it all for them. We use what we call target date funds, which, for instance, in Sweden, we have a large client there that looks to facilitate some savings strategies for the third pillar. And that's where customers will go in and then they'll entrust BlackRock or others with their savings. And the target date fund will not only do the asset allocation at a point in time, but it will change, evolve that asset allocation through time. And so as you get closer to retirement, your asset allocation changes all within one fund. So we cater differently to different regulations, but also to different types of retirement needs.
Now, I hear you say, Dom, things like glide path and target date solutions. Many of these concepts obviously are well known to you, but in our Dutch pension scheme, they are quite new. Could you elaborate on what it is you do for pension funds to get started in DC?
Yeah, so here Jan mentioned earlier about this concept of life cycle investing. And you know, these terms are really just associated with essentially how we evolve the amount of risk we take through time. And the glide path, this term glide path, is essentially just a roadmap for the solution to adjust the risk profile of the strategy by taking into consideration traditional asset allocation concepts, but also things like time horizon, contributions that are derived through our labour income profiles, and also our expected retirement date. So the non-traditional asset allocation considerations blended with more traditional asset allocations provide us a roadmap to think about how much risk we take through time. And that's essentially what the glide path is. And really, target date solutions they're an embodiment of this glide path. So they are portfolios that will take that glide path, layer on an asset allocation over the top of it, and then through a single solution adjust the portfolio through time. So they are similar to, you may have be familiar with, traditional life cycle strategies that have a growth phase and then will de-risk into a non-growth or more conservative phase. But really the point about the glide path is it informs the asset allocation. It has information about demographic inputs as well. So it allows us to adapt solutions for the DC market.
So what would you then say, Dom, are the advantages of such solutions? And could you perhaps give us a couple of examples that you've brought to markets?
Yes, of course. So, I mean, I think, a lot of the big theme here is transferring risk from the corporate or the state into the individual. So if you think about individual DC, I think target date solutions are intuitive because the individual just simply selects the target retirement date and then is able then to just do it everything for them. So they don't have to worry about checking the funds or rebalancing themselves. It's a sort of do-it-for-me approach. So if you want to think about encouraging people to save and get confidence in saving, I think that's important. I think from a broader, because on the Netherlands perspective, as they move from into DC, I think they've been very good target date funds at managing at scale. So some of the largest DC pension markets have adopted them and they've been successful in building scale approaches. And that's for numerous reasons. They are professionally managed. They are long-term investments, so they take long-term views, and they have a reasonably robust de-risking process. So I think that point's important because as the Netherlands is moving entirely into DC, a big market, it's important that you have the confidence that you can manage investments at scale.
Right. Now we've talked about your experiences, Dom, and how BlackRock tailored DC to a specific country context. And referring to what you just said, looking to the Dutch future, what in your view are some of the key themes in DC that we can expect going forward?
So I think a huge theme is unlocking the potential for private assets. Think as you consider a restructuring the pension system and having this shift, it's important that we think about how we can get access to some of these private assets. It's not new in DC to have private assets, but it's not uniform. So certain markets have more than others. Australia is a classic example. Some of the large Australian pension funds have lots of access to things like infrastructure assets, real assets. We've seen also more globally just pension funds adapting to private markets. Sweden's a great example. Long history of investing in alternative investments. And also now looking things like real estate and private equity and across the private market spectrum to really enhance the returns. Denmark as well. Another big theme. search for yield. We've got really low interest rates in Europe across the piece, and traditional public assets aren't providing the type of yield that some of the pension funds require. Same in Italy as well, you know, very, very low interest rates, and shifts away from government bonds. You know, as we know, government bond yields in Europe, very, very low. So a lot of things, you know, from an investment perspective, are driving that. Now, the way with my DC hat on, I mean, my life cycle hat on, I think it's important to consider private equity, venture capital, real estate, whatever that private asset is, within the life cycle context. So things like venture capital and private equity are really important for younger members to get enhanced growth, being able to swallow some of the illiquidity because they have a long-term time horizon, and also capture some of those more interesting opportunities. But then as our conditions change and we move further towards retirement, other assets become more interesting, assets that have more cash flow features, infrastructure debt, other private debt instruments. They become important because they are able to diversify, but also provide some yield that is greater than inflation. So as we move through time, that menu of alternatives becomes different and becomes more appealing, and assets become more favourable as our situation changes. So it's not just broad-based private markets, it's private markets at the right time.
Right. Is there anything specific, Gert-Jan, you'd like to add here for the Dutch market specifically?
Yeah, good question. If I may, I wanted to add one also trend that we see, and it's very relevant in the Netherlands. I would mention sustainability. Now, sustainability isn't particularly driven by the DC reform, but it has been a trend for many years right now. It is growing strongly, and it will grow even stronger over the coming years. So it will sort of coincide with the pension reform. And I think the two are really tied together.
Do you agree with that, Dan?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, a lot of people looking at sustainability, and, you know, if we just think about the transition to net zero and future state of the world, it's implicit, it's very closely linked to retirement portfolios. Our job is to design portfolios for the future. And so we have to, and so this is a very critical topic for all investors, but I think particularly for retirement investors.
Anything else? Sorry. go ahead. I see you wanted to add something, Gert-Jan.
Yeah, you know, sustainability, that's definitely a very Dutch approach as well. Now, Marije, in specific Dutch context, I also wanted to add another aspect of this sustainability, which is the increasing room for tailored approach. You know, the whole transition to DC is already all about being more tailored towards the participant, being an individual participant or the age cohort. And I think this specifically holds true for sustainability. I think in WVP Plus, the individual approach, there it's very clear. It's the participant who decides where to invest. The participant can choose funds in its portfolio, you know, for instance, with specific SFDR grades, you know, the Article 6, Article 8, etc. In the NPC, the collective version, sustainability will also be an important part of it because, yes, there is one big collective pool of assets in NPC, and it will still be the board of trustees that will decide. But, you know, given the growth of sustainable products, it gives the board also much more of this tailored, of this flexibility approach there too. And maybe to finish off this point, as we've seen recently in the media with APG, it also becomes increasingly easier to create tailor-made ESG products that really fit the ESG beliefs of a pension fund.
Right. We're already getting at the end of this podcast interview, but maybe as a final question, Gert-Jan, what are the learnings or the lessons that our Dutch audience should take away from this upcoming reform, this pension reform? What are the key takeaways?
Yeah, so what Dom and I try to emphasize in this podcast is, you know, there's a lot of change ahead, but a lot of experiences are already there in the recent past. It's pretty clear in the Netherlands, the shift from DB to DC, whichever version the pension fund is going to choose, will be a really rocky road, and there will be some major challenges ahead. And you know, to make it even more complex, all these changes will come also in a time, you know, of very low rates, pressures and demands and preferences from regulators, but also from participants to invest more, for instance, in sustainability. So there's a lot of challenges. But on the other hand, not all wheels need to be reinvented. You know, Netherlands is not the first country that moves into DC. A lot has already been done in Europe and beyond. And that's why I wanted to introduce Dom, to show that there's a lot of international experience. And maybe to quickly mention, let's say, three of these experiences. One is, let's be sure that a life cycle is never a standard product. It always needs to be tailored. That was the case in other countries as well, and it will be the case in the Dutch context as well. I know that Dom mentioned a few examples. Second is the whole life cycle approach really ties in with the transparency. Participants will need going forward much more transparency. They want much more information. The regulator wants different information. And pension funds will need to cater for that information. And by the way, this also ties in really nicely with the whole SFDR reporting and sustainability again. And maybe the third one. So life cycle is about developing the asset mix over time. And let's look at these assets. I think it's completely understandable if people think, under DC, I can no longer invest in certain assets. And Dom mentioned, for instance, a few great examples in alternatives, in private assets. And I think such assets, private assets, at first sight, they seem to contradict, you know, some of the more liquid DC elements. But, you know, many other countries have, as Dom has explained, has conquered these challenges, and they have implemented private markets as well. And I think they need it also for yield and diversification.
Gentlemen, I'd like to thank you for your time today and for being here with me and for telling us more about this importance of life cycles in the Dutch pension reform. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Thank you for listening to this podcast on the importance of life cycles in the upcoming Dutch pension reform. I would like to thank today's guests, Dominic Baarn and Geert-Jan Troost from BlackRock, for their time and their insights. This podcast was offered to you by BlackRock. For more podcasts, please visit fondsnews.nl/podcast. And for more information on BlackRock, please visit blackrock.com.
Deze podcast is uitsluitend bedoeld ter informatie en vormt geen beleggingsadvies, aanbeveling, aanbod of uitnodiging om bepaalde effecten, fondsen of strategieën te kopen of verkopen. De hier geuite meningen zijn van 18 mei 2021 en kunnen zonder voorafgaande kennis wijzigen. Lezers dienen zelf te bepalen of zij op de informatie in dit document willen vertrouwen. Beleggen gaat altijd gepaard met een zeker risico. Tot en met 31 december 2020, uitgegeven door BlackRock Investment Management UK Limited, in het Verenigd Koninkrijk geautoriseerd en gereguleerd door de Financial Conduct Authority, FCA. Officiële zetel, 12 Throckmorton Avenue, London. EC2N, 2DL, telefoon +41 020 7743 3000. In Engeland en Wales ingeschreven in het handelsregister onder nummer 2020-394. Om u te beschermen worden telefoongesprekken doorgaans opgenomen. Zie voor een volledige lijst van door de FCA toegelaten activiteiten van BlackRock de website van FCA. Met ingang van 1 januari 2021, in geval het Verenigd Koninkrijk en de Europese Unie geen overeenkomst sluiten waarin geregeld is dat bedrijven die in het Verenigd Koninkrijk gevestigd zijn, financiële diensten mogen aanbieden en verlenen in de Europese Economische Ruimte, EER. Is de uitgever van dit materiaal BlackRock Investment Management UK Limited voor iedereen buiten de Europese Economische Ruimte en BlackRock Netherlands BV voor iedereen binnen de Europese Economische Ruimte. BlackRock Netherlands BV is geautoriseerd en gereguleerd door de Autoriteit Financiële Markten, AFM. Officiële zetel, Amstelplein 1, 1096 HA, Amsterdam. Telefoonnummer +31 020 549 5200. En ingeschreven in het handelsregister onder nummer 17068311. Om u te beschermen worden telefoongesprekken doorgaans opgenomen. Copyright 2021 BlackRock Incorporated. Alle rechten voorbehouden. BlackRock is een handelsnaam, trademark, van BlackRock Incorporated en haar dochterondernemingen in de Verenigde Staten en daarbuiten. Alle andere handelsnamen, trademarks, zijn van de respectieve eigenaren.